Welcome to episode 98 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. This is Eric and Alan returning after a week off. Nothing really happened last week anyway.
No, absolutely nothing.
What the heck did happen? Oh, it was the Wyndham Championship. I don't even remember who won. Who won?
Yeah. Anyway, right. We know who won this week, though.
We do. Vijay Singh won this week.
Kudos to Vijay. Unfortunately, I was in Colorado driving back from Colorado. No TV in the van. Didn't get to see too many highlights. I did see my favorite Wisconsin boy, Steve Stricker, fall flat on his face with a third round 77.
Yeah, he was leading by like four shots at one point and then finished well back. And Carl Peterson won the Wyndham Championship.
Congratulations.
Not to slight Carl Peterson. But anyway, Vijay Singh, Sergio Garcia. For a while, I thought Ben Curtis until he kind of screwed up. I think he three-putted or something. A lot of guys look like they were in it. Kevin Sutherland, you know, I think he would have been first. He would have leapt to first in the FedEx Cup standings if he had won. We'll talk a bit about that later. But those three guys get into a playoff, just missing again Ben Curtis. They get into a playoff, you know, Kevin Sutherland, he had no chance. He had a 15, 20-footer for par. Didn't need to hit it because Sergio Garcia makes a 27-foot birdie putt. Followed by Vijay Singh making a 26-foot birdie putt on the first playoff hole, Sundeath. They go to the next hole. They go back to 17. Sergio hits it. He hits a bad drive. He chips out too far. Doesn't hook the ball. Goes behind a tree. And then Vijay, meanwhile, puts it on the green to 20 feet for a easy two-putt birdie. Kind of an anticlimactic thing, especially with the ruling and stuff on the right-hand side there. And two guys, honestly, you might not think would ever make a putt, both make a putt.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
It might have been better for them that it wasn't a five-footer.
That's a really good point. I mean, it's the last two people you'd be thinking would be dropping, you know, 20-plus foot bombs. Kudos to both of them.
Some weeks I think they're more likely to do that, though, than to make a five-footer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So the playoffs get off to I don't know. It was an exciting start. It was a playoff in the playoffs. Not that the playoffs are actually playoffs, because everyone that missed the cut, some of them still get to come back. So an exciting start. Steve Stricker... unable to win like he did last year. Again, that 77 in the third round that you alluded to. Vijay Singh had a bad year, wins at Bridgestone, misses something like three out of the next three cuts or something, and then wins here again.
Yeah, that is pretty surprising that you see, Vijay coming up huge and at the Bridgestone and then again now here at the, you know, first round of the FedEx Cup. And now we've seen Sergio's coming on strong as of late. Ben Curtis, has been playing a great month of golf. Looked like it's
well. I hope he can keep it going into the Ryder Cup too, since he's on the team now with his PGA finish. So,
hopefully he can keep that hot playing.
We're seeing a lot of interesting things. Still not. I'm not sure that Tiger would have played this course either, but who knows? Because I think part of the reason they moved away from Westchester was partly because Tiger didn't ever want to play there. Well, who knows if he would have played here next year? It'll be at Liberty National, so it won't even be at this course anymore. You know, we'll see. But the playoffs are off to an interesting and somewhat exciting start. Sergio again dealing with defeat coming up second.
It'd be interesting to see how he handles this. I mean, this is now
his dartboard's getting full.
Yes. He has not been able to pull the trigger on the big one. Interestingly, in the FedEx Cup standings after the first week, there were some serious moves. Obviously, Kevin Sutherland dropped, he moved up from 57th to 3rd. You know, he had Kenny Perry dropping from 2nd to 7th. Ben Curtis moved up quite a few spots. And some guy named Tiger, who's played, two events since the Masters, is still 15th.
He's still leading. He was still leading before the final round.
At the rate he's going, he's going to be able. He'll be in the last 30, and he won't even be there.
He may make the tour championship.
It's very possible.
Right. Yeah, but see, that's interesting because they wanted more volatility in the standings. But now, I think some of them are starting to realize, and we're hearing complaints that there's too much volatility because some of the majors and some of the other PGA Tour events and things use where you finish in the FedEx Cup or whether you make the Tour Championship, which is all based on FedEx Cup points, as a criteria for whether you're in the major. I know the U.S. Open has two criteria, if you're in the top 30 in the money list or if you're in the Tour Championship, which this year and obviously next year are slightly different barometers because now the FedEx Cup points are a measure of whether you get into the Tour Championship, and the money list is different, especially since there are fall series events where you can add to the money list and get in. So whatever. But people are starting to see too much volatility. Kevin Sutherland, he's been nowhere. CBS ran some graphics. I think they said you could finish second like four times. But if you won one event and missed the cut or something, you'd have more points than four second place finishes. And it's some crazy things like that, where if you just make two cuts and finish just 70th, you'll make more money or you'll earn more FedEx Cup points than if you finish fifth and miss the cut or something. So it's a little odd, and people are kind of complaining. So I think next year we're going to see a tweak to the tweak, and it won't be quite as volatile, but you know, somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I hope so. They'll be able to tweak something and to get it to work a little bit better, so you don't have the jumps quite like we had after week one, where you got people moving up 54 spots.
Right, into the top five from nowhere. So yeah. Of course, one of the guys that's taking advantage of that is Kevin Streelman, so whatever. But that's also, at the same time, that's the things that can happen in the playoffs. The Steelers did it when they won the Super Bowl. You know, they were the sixth seed. They played every game on the road, and they knocked off the 1, 2, and 3 seeds on route to Detroit. So, you know, that kind of stuff can happen, and it's a little bit more playoff-like to have that stuff happen. So who knows how much it'll really change. It's interesting, but at the same time, I think golf fans in general would rather have the top guys be there rather than some guy that just pops up. Speaking of people that just pop up, Danny Lee, the world's best amateur golfer, or the top-ranked amateur golfer, whatever, let the comparisons begin, unfortunately, to Tiger Woods, because he's now the youngest U.S. amateur champion. I don't know. I mean, I think he'll be a bust on tour, but it was certainly interesting to watch him obliterate the course. He's pretty much an all-out player. He knocks off Drew Kittleson 5-4 at Pinehurst.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that this kid is talented. Yes, he's only 18, but
he's already having knee problems.
I mean, to hear, and some people even in the forum were talking about how great they think this kid is. And winning the U.S. Amateur doesn't guarantee anything. I mean, since Tiger Woods, it's been Matt Kuchar, Hank Keeney, David Gossett, Jeff Quinney, Bubba Dickerson, Ricky Barnes, who won everything as an amateur in 2002.
Ryan Moore
won every collegiate event and amateur event in 2004, has yet to win a tour event. So, I mean, it doesn't guarantee anything.
Well, the U.S. Amateur is a match play event. So, you know, even that alone is a little freaky. You're playing against one guy. You can triple a hole and it doesn't really matter. You triple a hole like Steve Stricker and look what it does to you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you just...
You know, there's 14 more guys there to leap up. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, stop with the accolades. The kid's good. There's no doubt about that. But to sit there and say he's the next Tiger Woods, there is no next Tiger Woods.
No. For at least 20 years. We'll be right back in shorter than 20 years. Probably about 30 seconds.
I mark my Titleist with a black dot left of the number. With blue brackets around the Titleist.
First, I black out the number, and then I make the Kelly Green 13.
Un pequeño círculo.
A black line over the Pro V1X.
Black dot over the 9.
For 20 years, a black dot over the tee.
Out on tour.
It's not how you mark your golf ball.
It's how you mark your Titleist.
How do you mark your Titleist?
Welcome back. This week's forum topic, more of like a me beating on your head saying, see, the rules can help you. Sergio Garcia knew the rules. He got a free drop at the Barclays because he hit into an area where his stance or swing was affected by a burrowing animal. Some people think that's a silly rule, but you know what? That's why it's in there. Because what if your ball was in one of the little ruts or whatever? It's an abnormal ground condition. He gets a free drop. He could play towards the green and was no longer stymied by the tree. The rules can help you oftentimes more than they hurt you. Everybody knows how they can hurt you. It's the people that know the rules that find help from time to time.
It is pretty interesting, though. From time to time, we do get forum threads where people complain about, you know, what's the stupidest rule? And
I don't like it when I hit a divot in the fairway.
You know, and stuff like that. And it's like you said, 9 chances out of 10, the rules are there to help you. You know, it's not too often. I mean, you hit the ball out of bounds, no kidding. But, I mean, to sit there, you know the rules, you know, kudos to Sergio. He knew the rules and, you know, it ended up being a huge advantage to him. I can't remember the last time I've ever heard of a burrowing animal coming into play.
Well, see, the guys in the PGA Tour know, as much as I rag on them for not knowing some of the rules, like you don't get 2 drops out of a yellow hazard, 2 club lengths, I mean, they know these kind of rules. Anytime they hit it into trouble, they'll look for, you know, a pile of ants or a burrowing animal or dung or, you know, like any of the rules that let them take a drop somewhere better. So they know those rules and they're there to help you. You know, I hit it next to a tree a couple of weeks ago and I was going to chip out until I realized that in the path of my follow-through, chipping out, we had the 150-yard stake. They're immovable obstructions at my course because they don't just pop out of the ground. So I was able to take a drop. The nearest point happened to be, I mean, it was a fairly skinny tree, but the nearest point allowed me to have an opening towards the green. I could punch it up, and it went up to the just off the fringe on the front of the green. Easy, you know, up and down for par from there. So the rules can help you. There's not really much more to this than that. Learn the rules, know the rules, and they're there to help you. Just like they did Sergio. He lost still, but he would have lost by even more if he had been right behind the tree.
Exactly. So buy a rule book, buy two of them, give one to your playing partners, and read it.
Right.
I mark my tire list with a black line and a red line. Black dot over the nine.
A red line through the side stamp.
With a dot between the tire list and the number.
With Korean flag.
I mark my ball with a kangaroo. Does anybody else do it like this?
Check it out.
Out on tour.
It's not how you mark your golf ball,
it's how you mark your tie list.
How do you mark your tie list?
Well, Paul Casey apparently is going to be on the Ryder Cup team.
If Nick Faldo's not a liar.
Well, perhaps. I think Nick Faldo got himself into a little bit of hot water with his role when he was commenting on Paul Casey standing over a putt. He says, okay, if he makes it, he's on the team. And then Paul Casey
22 footers.
Quickly makes the putt, which was pretty impressive. And Faldo, of course, now has to eat crow, or at least eat his on-air guarantee of using one of the two captain's picks on Paul Casey.
I think Paul Casey may have bumped himself into possibly qualifying automatically, but if he doesn't, Nick Faldo said, okay, if he makes this, he's in the team. He made it. We'll see what happens. I hope he doesn't make it just because he's a tough cookie. And it'll be easier if, Owen Wilson or somebody makes the team instead of Paul Casey.
Yeah.
Because really, Owen Wilson.
But it'll be interesting to see what shakes out in the next week with this pseudo guarantee.
Man of your word, Nick.
Yes. Put him on the team. One guy who won't be on the team and is unsure of next year's any team or any event is Tiger Woods, who's over jet setting over in Dubai, checking out his $1.1 billion course project over in Dubai. Not sure when he's going to come back. He hasn't been able to do anything. He's rehabbing and according to him,
here's the thing. I'm not sure I get this article. He said he's not going to pick up a club until 2009. The Dubai Desert Classic begins January 27th. Do you honestly think he's gonna go play in an event like 2 weeks after he picks up the club for the first time in like 7 months? I don't know. I don't see it.
No, I don't see that happening at all.
Even though it's not really the world stage, he's kind of over there in Dubai where nobody, you have to watch the Golf Channel at like 4 in the morning to watch coverage or something. I just don't see it because, you know what, Tiger Woods shooting 14 over par and missing the cut. I don't know that he would. He very well could win. I don't know. But 2 weeks after 7 months off, I don't know. You're going to be a little rusty.
Yeah, I mean, if he's not picking up a club until January of 2009, I can't see him playing too many tournaments before even the Masters, as far as that goes. So I don't know. I've never had to, I've never had to rehab an ACL injury, so I don't know how long it takes, but apparently, for Tiger, it's going to take quite a while, and he's not going to even be hitting golf balls for quite a few months yet.
His short game could be good, though. We'll see.
His putting could be rather spectacular.
Don't bet against him. I mean, that's all you can say. Tiger Woods is more likely to win the Masters than Sergio and Vijay Singh were to make their birdie putts in the playoff. That's pretty much a truth.
Ha!
Ha! We'll conclude on that. Give kudos to Sergio. I think he led the tournament in putting that week. Look at that.
Wow. Go buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah. I was going to make a joke about Sergio being lucky enough, most likely, but I won't. But I will say that about does it for episode 98.6 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. Show notes online. You know the drill. It's late. I'm going to bed.
See ya, and good night.